I have a question to start. Who do you serve? It seems like a very simple and straightforward question, which each of us should be very readily able to answer. And we should be able to say, I serve God. But how well do we really know this? How do we prove to ourselves that we know this? I think it's one of the most important questions that we can answer continually through our lives. You know, already this feast we've heard scriptures pointing out the hardship between being human, having God's spirit, and learning to become spiritual. We are told in many places in the Bible to seek God first and foremost in our lives. But this is actually one of the most challenging things to do. And I don't think it's for a lack of wanting to, right? We all are here because we want to seek God first. But it can become so easily to become distracted in this life, the day-to-day things that pop up and just happen. So what do we do each day to make sure that we are seeking first God in our lives? Is it prayer? Is it Bible study? Is it seeking God in all of our ways? Is it showing kindness and respect to those whom we come in contact with? What is it that makes it work in your life? It's obviously going to be different for each of us, right? But if you will, turn to Proverbs 1 and verse 7 because it has something very important to say. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When I was a child, growing up in the church, I used to think how weird this scripture was when it would get spoken. I didn't understand how we could fear God, and yet how we could also love him. It seemed so odd to me, because how could having fear for God produce a positive effect? And then you would hear scriptures such as 1 John 4:18, which says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." As a kid, it's like, okay, what are these two scriptures trying to say? And you often find this in the Bible, these dichotomies that seem to outbalance each other in one way or the other. According to Strong's Concordance, this word fear in Proverbs 1, verse 7, is the Hebrew word yirah, Y-I-R-A-H. And it means fear of God, respect, reverence. So, the reverential fear and respect of God is the beginning or the starting point of knowledge. To say it another way, before you begin anything in your life, seek God. Before you start a new career, before you start a business, before you go on a trip to the feast, choose to seek God. The proper response in any and all situations that we will face in this life is to first seek God. You know, when we choose to exalt God, we are placing more weight and authority in his way of doing things. When we establish our foundation in God, we are placing our hope and our faith and our confidence and our trust in him. So the beginning of our success, whatever we are going to do in life, begins with this reverential fear, this honor, and this respect for God and for his blueprint for our lives. Strong's Concordance also states that the word for knowledge is daath, D-A-A-T-H, and it means skill, discernment, understanding, and wisdom. So the starting point for our talents, our skills, gifts, and abilities all starts and ends with God at the focal point. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, James 1 and verse 5, we are admonished what? It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, go ahead and go seek it out in the world and do your best and we'll see what happens. No, it says, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So in order for us to come to have more wisdom, more understanding, more skill or insight, we must ask God for it. But how many times do we just try and do things on our own, thinking that maybe we know better, and it's not always the case. Sometimes it's you don't even think about it. You just go off and do something. The second part of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 states this. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Strong's Concordance for this word, Hebrew word fool, is E-V-I-V-Y-L. Almost sounds like evil. And it means one who despises wisdom. So when we choose to attempt important things in our lives without seeking God first, we are being foolish. We are not showing God our fear and respect for him. But rather, we are choosing to make the decisions in our life without involving him in our choices. And he lets us. He lets us make choices in our lives. And he will step back and allow us to do so. He's not going to step in like a parent would and say, no, you need to be careful. He will absolutely allow you to make your choice. But then we see the conclusion, right? God says, you are being foolish in your regards to life if you are not seeking me first. We've heard it during this feast that there's this connection between sin and not fearing God, or choosing to serve God and to obey him. And that's something that should be easy for us to see. But I think there's something that there's a little bit deeper below the surface than just that. And something that we should think about. If we truly fear God, we will obey the commandments and live according to his word and say no to sin. If you think about the Israelites at Mount Sinai, God gave them a type of fear when he came down on the mountain. They were physically afraid of what was going on at that moment. And in a sense, this was a moment for them to learn to avoid and to reject sin, to obey the law. Throughout the book of Exodus, Moses repeatedly connected fearing God to serving and obeying God. But it wasn't enough for the children of Israel, was it? Because they veered off time and again. They didn't have the proper fear for God. And going back to 1 John 4 and verse 18, what does that last bit say? It says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Without the perfect love of God living in us, we will always have fear working in us. We know that sin produces death when it's not repented of. And that is something indeed to fear. That eternal death from which no one will survive. But that's not what we've been called for. We have been called to become perfect and perfected in the love of God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, we heard this scripture, I believe, yesterday. Romans 8 and verse 15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So God's spirit dwelling in us allows us to avoid sin and to call upon God as our Father for help. Now, Christ did this perfectly when he was a human being. He constantly was in front of God in prayer, asking for help, asking for wisdom, for direction. And so as we continue to grow in our faith, and we learn to put our confidence and our trust in God, we will never have to fear. Just as Christ never feared. If you will, turn to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. And it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. We learn fear through this world, through Satan, through following our own devices. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Brethren, this is our end goal, to continually have this as our focus. We can have this spirit of not being fearful. And we must use this power consistently. It's something we have to continue to grow in. Because it is a process, and it is an effort, because we all go through moments of fear in our lives. But it's worth it. So live without fear.